Well, hey, good morning, Cross City. How are you? Oh, that's good. That's the best one so far, but I think we can do better. Hey, Cross City, how are you? Great to see you. My name is Brent, one of the pastors here. If you're watching online, special welcome to you as well. We're glad that you're watching with us this morning. It's always an honor to be able to fill in for our senior pastor, David, who's going to be back next week. He's going to be kicking off chapter 5 of John. We've been walking through the Gospel of John. I'm going to get to wrap up John chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles or your device, if you would, go ahead and flip to the end of chapter 4. We're going to be taking a look at what it means for us to take our faith to the next level this morning. Have a newfound appreciation not only for Pastor David, but the leadership in our church. I was able to attend a conference this week with Pastor David, and I heard story after story of churches from around the country of pastors and churches that are just really discouraged right now. Like they're depressed. Their churches are in decline. Things aren't working. Have you heard the phrase, misery loves company? Well, yeah, there was a lot of company going on there with some of these pastors. And I was just reminded of just the appreciation that I have for the leadership of our church and for your grace that in the midst of all of that, not only have we survived, but I believe we've thrived and God's been given the glory in the midst of all of this. Thank you, God, for that, right? But I also wanted in the midst of that to acknowledge that not everybody in the midst of that has thrived. And not everyone is like living their best life right now. And if you find yourself needing some encouragement, needing some prayer and responding to this message, I encourage you to take your connection card this weekend and just write down a prayer request for an area of faith where we can be praying specifically for you. There's ministries for those of you that have lost loved ones. We have a ministry called Grief Share. Maybe you've gone through a divorce or know someone that you know has divorce care. Maybe you're single and parenting. We have a single and parenting ministry. But specifically, I wanted to highlight one ministry on the top, which is a ministry called Regeneration. And it's a ministry that's on Monday nights at 6:30. It's tomorrow night, 6:30 in the Student Center. Child care is provided. You can come as you are. You don't need to register. But it's for those of you that feel like, man, life is just really hard right now. You feel stuck. You feel like there's a broken cycle of decisions that you're making and you just can't get out of. I encourage you to maybe make that a next step from this morning's message. Pastor Keith and Jeb are going to be at the Next Steps booth after the message, and they'd love to share more information about regeneration as a possible next step for you. That's just one example of the many ministries and the great things that are happening in the life of our church. I could go on and on and on and talk about those, but we are actually going to be doing that in a couple weeks from now on October 2nd and 3rd. It's a weekend that we call it Cross City Celebration Weekend. So I want you to look at your calendar, and if you have anything that weekend as a conflict for Celebration Weekend, I need you to cancel it right now, okay? You're going to miss out on an incredible weekend that we want you to not only be here, but we want you to invite your friends and family to join you with, because there's going to be free stuff, right? Free swag, shirts, things like that. So make sure that you come out for that. We're going to be celebrating not only what God has done in the last 18 months, but actually the last 5 years, because it's going to be recognizing the 5-year anniversary of the frat house opening up in our courtyard. And I know many of you guys have been a part of that, and you're a part of Cross City because of that. And we want to acknowledge that. We want to celebrate that. And also, we want to share some exciting vision about what's going to happen in the next 5 years. You know, one of the things I know about Jewish people and about Jerusalem, I've been there a lot of times, is they love to party. And I think we as Christians, we need to ramp up our party game. So come on out here on October 2nd and 3rd. We'd love to have you be there for that weekend. Sound good, everyone? All right, good, good, good. All right, the tepid response, but that's okay. Hey, I got accused of something this last week, and I need you to know that I am guilty as charged. And that is that I am guilty of telling dad jokes. How many of you guys love dad jokes? Let me see your hands, right? Yeah, that's the dads. The wives are like, no, don't do it. Yeah, they're funny because they're punny, right? And they're play on words. Like, for example, about the dentist that got married to the manicurist. It's really sad because they're always fighting tooth and nail, right? Or the insurance salesman that fell in the upholstery machine, and that's okay. He's fully covered. You don't need to worry about that. And so now there's something funny about the play on words. And this weekend, there's going to be a play on words that you've heard something before, but I want to suggest that it's different. We've heard the phrase before, seeing is believing. But for those of us that are Christ followers, what we know is that at times we are called to believe before we see. So I got some good news for you right now. For those of you that are just wanting to check out and watch your favorite football team on your device right now, I'm going to give you the big idea. I'm going to give you the sermon in a sentence, and then you can go back to ESPN. So ready? Fill in this one thing. If somebody asked you, what did the preacher talk about? Here it is right here. Write it down. It's that genuine faith believes before it sees. That genuine faith believes before it sees. And we're going to open up our scriptures in just a moment, and we're going to see a story of a father, of a son who is in a dire situation. And Jesus is going to challenge him to take him at his word and believe for a miracle to happen later. And this is going to be the second miracle in the Gospel of John. The first one was Jesus turning water into wine. And then there's going to be this miracle right here of Jesus healing a royal official's son. So that being said, let me read for you John chapter 4, verse 43. It's going to magically appear on the screens to your right and your left. After the 2 days he left Galilee, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet had no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick in Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him, begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. So this is a very dire situation. This guy doesn't have the common cold. He's about ready to die. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you'll never believe. Do you hear him saying that? Seeing is believing, right? The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Like literally, physically, come with me, Jesus. Touch my child so that my child will live. And Jesus responds in verse 50, no, but go. And Jesus replied, your son's going to live. The man took Jesus at his word. The man took Jesus, what everyone, at his word. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. Verse 51, while he was still on his way, his servant met him with the news that his boy was alive. When he inquired as to the time when the son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 p.m, the fever left him. And then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him that your son's going to live. So he and his whole household believed. And this was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. There's one word that this entire message is about, and it's the word faith. Would you say that out loud with me? Faith. This message is all about faith. And if there is there's like a verse or a sentence that summarizes this entire message, it's verse 50, and that the man took Jesus at his word. Would you all say that out loud with me, church? Ready? Here we go. And the man took Jesus at his word. And what did he do? And he departed. Let's pray, everybody. So God, as we leave here today, in just a couple of minutes, I pray that we would leave here as a gathered group of people who are going to take you at your word, that we're going to trust and obey, that we're going to hear your word, that we're going to live out your word, that we're going to believe your word simply because, not if, but because, not when, but because. So would you develop this kind of faith in our hearts and our minds to begin to see things as not temporary, but as eternal? Because God, your word is living and active. It's useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man and the woman of God can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Would you equip us this weekend for your good work in your world? We pray this in your name. Amen? Amen. So you're going to notice on the top of your notes, there's three fill-in-the-blanks, and there's three different kinds of faith that I think many of us experience and we wrestle with. And what I want you to do is I want you to do a self-assessment. And so when I talk about this, and before we go on to the next one, I want you to circle it or star it, or put a check mark next to it and say, yeah, this defines who I am. And I just want you to be honest. We need to set kind of like reality. You're doing the self-assessment yourself. And so a part of that is once you identify where you are, then you can take steps in the direction of Jesus easier. But it starts with being real with yourself. And so as we're doing that, no shame. Just be real with where you are with your faith. Okay, number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. It's a superficial kind of faith. Now, a superficial kind of faith is a faith that focuses in on when something else happens. It's the kind of faith that says that I'm going to believe when this happens. And it's sometimes called shallow, or it's an immature faith, but it's basically demanding something of God to believe. The first person that comes to my mind who had a superficial kind of faith was a man by the name of Thomas in the New Testament. He was a disciple of Jesus. And he famously said, I'm not going to believe that Jesus rose from the dead until I can see his nail-scarred hands. And Jesus would later on show him that. And I do believe that Thomas had faith, but he definitely had some doubts. And at the heart of his faith, it was superficial, because he was not going to believe until something happened. And we do this as well in our life. There are some things that we all want to see signs and wonders, or we want to go where other people have gone, or when our favorite celebrity Christian is there, we'll go flocking to that place or to that church. But when they're gone, it seems like everyone else is gone. Some of us have seen stories of people clinging to a superficial kind of faith with some really weird things. Like, for example, a couple years ago, I heard about a person who had a grilled cheese sandwich where they thought they saw an image of the Virgin Mary on that grilled cheese sandwich. And people came from all over to see this grilled cheese sandwich of Mary. It later sold on eBay for $28,000, everyone. If you think that's silly, if you find yourself in Rochester, New York, you'll see a tree with the image of Jesus on it. You go to New Mexico, you'll find not a grilled cheese sandwich, but a tortilla with a picture of Jesus on the tortilla. You can look out your window this next week, and maybe you'll see a cloud formation of Jesus. By the way, if you want a good 30 minutes, type in cloud formations of Jesus. They're all over the place. Thank you, Photoshop. But my favorite one is the person who saw the face of Jesus in their latte, right? And I think to myself, I'm not sure that's Jesus, or if it's just the barista that loves Jesus a latte, hey? Strong dad joke right there, by the way. Strong dad joke. Now, in full transparency, we've all got some silly things that we've said. When this happens, then I know that God, I can believe you. It was a couple of years ago. I had a pretty big decision that I needed to make. And I'd been seeking scripture. I had been praying. I'd been asking advice. And I did not know if I should stay or if I should go, if it was yes or if it was no. So as I was driving down the road, in my mind, I had this idea that if the next light is green, it means go. And if the light turns red, it means no. So I'm just by faith driving down the road, and I get to the light and it's green, and I'm like, woohoo! And then it turned yellow, and I'm like, uh-oh. It kind of just absolutely confused my spiritual thesis. You see, there's some of us that we have those events that happen in life, and you know, it's I call it like a fortune cookie faith, where we're going, you know, to our favorite Chinese restaurant, and we open up the fortune cookie, and that must be God speaking to us. I'm like, no, it's not. It's Panda Express that wants you to come back. And there are these superficial faith things that happened that were happening thousands of years ago. And Jesus knew that they would be like spiritual thrill seekers and not disciples. That's why in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus actually says some pretty tough stuff. When he says, and I quote, "Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to Jesus, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' And he answered, 'A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah.'" In essence, what Jesus was saying is you remember the famous Seinfeld episode, "No soup for you," right? He's saying, no miracle for you, except for when I die on a cross, defeat death, and I rise from the dead after 3 days, just like Jonah was in the belly of a whale for 3 days, then you will see that miracle. You see, Jesus was telling us that there's going to be a superficiality in our faith, and if we're not careful, we're going to put conditions on our faith and we'll be superficial. But rather, genuine faith believes even before it sees. Now, I just want to state clearly before I move on to the second point that our God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. Amen? But oftentimes, he chooses not to do it through a latte or a cheese sandwich, but he does it through the word of God. Number two, maybe this is your faith. It's more of a situational faith. Would you write in the word situational? And the key word to a situational faith is if. If God, you do this, then I will believe. God, if you get me out of this mess, then I'll serve you. If God, you get me out of the emergency room, if you heal my family member, then I will believe. And that's where this man in the story was, this royal official. His son was sick. It was a dire situation. And this is what he said in verse 49. The royal official came to Jesus and said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." And I need you to know there's nothing wrong with this kind of request. We pray these prayers all the time. And God always hears our prayers. And sometimes he answers those prayers. I know of my life that in my most dire of situations, I have had nowhere to look but up. I've been at the end of my rope, and the only place I could turn to was God, and he met me right where I was. You've heard the phrase before that there are no atheists in a foxhole. There have been many people in life that they have had the opposition coming against them, and otherwise irreligious people have begun to pray prayers of faith with bullets whizzing by their head and making spiritual promises to God only to have God spare their life or to provide for them and later suffer for what's called spiritual amnesia, where they forget God's hand of protection in their life and they chalk it up to maybe fate instead of faith. And unfortunately, there's not a sustained spiritual growth in their life. It's the equivalent of like a spiritual Hail Mary. You guys have heard that before. It's when Doug Flutie threw the famous pass into the end zone and catching it when there's no time left. And sometimes that's the equivalent of our spiritual faith, is that we're just throwing it up when we have nowhere else to go, believing for that miracle that God will hear that prayer and catch it and that we'll win the game in the end. Speaking of winning the game in the end, go Bulldogs, everyone. Right, everyone? Woo-hoo! And good news is both Alabama and Oklahoma won yesterday, so Pastor David and Trevor are still friends this week. So that's good news for the rest of us as well. Now, what I'm saying is does God listen to the Hail Mary prayers? Absolutely. They're like a 911 phone call, but the desire is that he's not wanting only to hear from us in an emergency, but he's wanting to have an ongoing relationship with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And he wants us to trust him, to believe him, even when we don't see him. Met with a couple recently, and they have a very big decision that they needed to make, and they wanted to run it by me. And I'll be honest, it was pretty complicated. And they said, so Brent, can you share with us, is it a yes or is it a no? And I said, well, gosh, I'll tell you what you need to do is you need to get in your car, and if the light is green, then yeah, no, I didn't say that. I wanted to. But I said, actually, no, I'm going to need for you to give me some moment and just like think about it and pray about it and read God's word and seek his clarity on it. And the guy came to me real quick and he says, oh, ouch, that sounds really scary. I was just hoping you'd tell me, is it a yes or a no? And you know, sometimes friends in our life, when we're focusing in on ifs and whens, we're missing out on the fact that God is looking for a surrendered heart. That regardless, I'm gonna trust you and I'm gonna provide for you. Number three, if you would write that down. It's a surrendered faith that believes not if or when, but simply because God said so. Because God said so, because God made a promise, and God never breaks a promise. God, I'm going to take you at your word. And that's exactly what the royal official did here with Jesus. What he was suggesting is not what he wanted, but God had a better plan. Verse 50, Jesus in essence says no to your plan, but I hear your request or your prayer, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to go. Jesus replied, and your son's going to live. And listen to what he did. And the man took Jesus, what church? At his word, and he departed. It was the official's plan to take Jesus with him back to his son, but Jesus had a whole other different plan. He said, no, by faith, I want you to believe it before you see it. And I want you to surrender this to me, the Savior of the world. And this is a big ask that Jesus was given to this man. And I need you to know, it's a big ask that he still has us today respond to. That there are going to be areas of our life, situations and circumstances and decisions that we're going to need to trust God even when we can't see it, especially when we can't see it. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, because what's seen is temporary, but what is unseen, Scripture says, is eternal. So we fix our eyes on what God is saying, and we trust him in all things. And what I love about this man is he doesn't sulk. He doesn't debate Jesus. He doesn't complain. He doesn't try to have this conversation with him. He just simply says, okay, and he departs, and he goes, and he takes Jesus at his word. But I know that's really hard for some of us today, because God has created some of you with a little bit of doubting Thomas in you, a little bit of doubting Terry, or doubting Tammy, if you will. And I need you to know that questions are okay, and doubts are okay. Because I want to remind you that Thomas had been spending years with Jesus, and he still had some questions. I mean, this conversation that he has where he says to Jesus that I want to see your hands scarred and I want to see your side, that happened 3 years into Jesus's ministry after his crucifixion on a cross, and Thomas still had questions. If you've been a disciple your whole life, it is possible that you still have some questions right now. And you keep on looking and you want to see it to believe it, but today is it possible that God is saying the secret to being able to see it is by believing it and then seeing it? It's trusting it, it's obeying it, and living it out. Notice what Jesus says to Thomas. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen, and yet they believe. Friends, there's a blessing for those of us today that choose to believe, even when we did not have the ability to see Jesus with our own eyes. But did you know that you can still see and hear from Jesus? And the primary way he does that is through his word to us. So what I want to do is I want to share with you 3 ways that you can continue to develop your faith in a genuine way so that you can literally take Jesus at his word. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. You need to listen for God's voice. You need to listen for God's voice. That's what the royal official did. He listened to God's voice through his one and only son, Jesus Christ. And God spoke to him. And the primary way that God speaks to us is through his word. When he speaks to us through other people, it's always substantiated by his word. The apostle Paul says that faith comes from hearing. That is hearing the good news about Jesus Christ. And so the question that I have for you is this. Who are you listening to, church? What voices are you allowing into your mind and your heart? Because what I know is what you listen to is ultimately going to be what you're going to become. The last several weeks, I found myself listening a lot more to talk radio for sports and talk radio for politics. And that didn't make me a more content and happy person, by the way. It actually made me a little bit irritable. Not my best self, if you will. I became convicted of that, and I just made a definitive decision that I need to really make sure that I'm spending time daily listening first to God's voice. So maybe this is just a reminder for some of you that maybe have gotten just a little bit, you've fallen out of a habit of reading God's word on a daily basis. Let me encourage you to read God's word daily. If you don't have a Bible reading plan, you can go to YouVersion, you can sign up for one, you can go to the Next Steps booth on your way out. Make that a habit. And also, for those of you that are in the process of discerning God's will and his direction to grow your faith, I want to encourage you to do something that our Rooted graduates do, and that is to have a spiritual journal and to write out your prayers. Now, some of you are thinking to yourself, that sounds a lot like a diary, Brent. I ain't going to be doing no diary. No. All you're doing is you're soaping yourself up, just like you do in the morning when you take a shower, guys. When you take a shower, guys, in the morning, and you use soap. It's S-O-A-P. It's scripture, it's an observation, it's an application, and then you write out your prayer. And what I've discovered is that when we will soap up spiritually, it has a way of helping us grow as we're listening to the very voice of God. You know, this last week, I was given the privilege and honor to be able to provide some one-minute devotionals for Spirit 88.9. And as I was listening into that, because it's always kind of funny to listen to yourself on the radio, I heard other preachers and I heard other songs that I hadn't heard before. And I was once again re-reminded how powerful what we choose to put in our mind is. when I was listening more to God's word being preached and being sung through worship songs, I found my mindset to be in a much better place than when I was listening to other things. Am I making sense, everybody? Am I dabbling a little bit right now? Am I messing? I don't care because I feel like I need to. There's a particular song by Danny Gokey called Every Victory. And at the heart of it, it just talks about the fact that the battle belongs to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 57, that we are victorious in Christ Jesus. Friend, I just need you to know that there are some truths about who God is that are in his word, and he wants us to live by those, but we're never going to be able to live by those unless we are listening to his voice. Number two on your notes, if you're serious about wanting to grow in your faith, if you're serious about wanting to take God at his word, then you need to take God at his word. Write it down. You need to literally do what this official did, and he took God at his word. The man took Jesus at his word, and he departed. But to take God at his word, that means that you got to listen to God's word, that you got to know God's word. You need to put yourself into proximity with other people. Fill your heart and your mind with God's word. Because if you don't, you're going to be listening to the lies of the world, and the world does not want what's best for you. The enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but our Savior has come to give us life abundantly. God, our God is a God that keeps his promises, but our world is a liar. When God makes a promise, his promises are always yes and amen. Some of you right now are afraid. You are afraid of what the future holds. You're just absolutely paralyzed by fear. But I need you to know that God's word says 365 times, do not be afraid. There are some of you that you're looking at your identity based on what's on TikTok or on Instagram, of what's beautiful or what's attractive. But I need you to know that when you are a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ, you've been created in the image of God. And that he loves you and that you're accepted and that you're secure and you find significance in him, not what this world says. And there are times that what we have to do is we just have to believe it and trust it and take it at its word. And friends, when God makes a promise, he never breaks a promise. Some of you need to flex your faith muscle. You flex your faith all the time. You don't even realize it. You're sitting in a chair right now by faith, trusting it's not going to break. I'm standing up here on a stage, trusting and believing those speakers are not going to crush me right now by faith. But by faith, what is God challenging you to put into practice this week? It was last Thursday, week ago Thursday, I was at a men's event here called Tailgate and Talks with our guys. A couple hundred guys were here. It was awesome. One of the speakers was a man by the name of Anthony Evans. He's the son of Tony Evans, the pastor, and he's a chaplain for the Dallas Cowboys. So they're in AT&T Stadium, and he's speaking to a stadium full of men. And he quoted his father on the topic of faith. By the way, this message is all about what? Faith. And listen to what Tony Evans says. He says, faith is acting like it is so, even when it is not so, in order that it might be so, simply because God, what? Said so. Now, that's pretty good, even though none of you followed along with it. So let's do it again like we almost believe it, everyone. Faith is acting like it is so, even when it is not so, in order that it might be so, simply because what? God said so. Guys, there are some of us right now that we are stuck. We are stymied in our faith. We're settling for a version of our faith that is not God's best. And I want to say, God is saying, I want you to trust and I want you to obey. Would you write that down? We not only need to listen to God's word, we not only need to take God's word at its very core into our hearts, but we need to act on it. We need to be obedient with it because the obedience of our faith is the proof of our faith. This is exactly what this royal official did. He put his faith into practice, and an amazing thing happened. Scripture tells us that it was a day later that the father realized, verse 53, that this was the exact time that Jesus had said to him that your son would live, and that he and his entire household, they believed. Friends, there are some of you right now that you are waiting on the manifestation of something to become true. You're looking with your eyes to see it, but what God is saying is, I want you to believe it first. And what I know about the timing of God is it's seldom early, it's never late, but he is always on time, amen. So God is calling us to take him at his word. And in a word, Jesus healed his son. But it wasn't until 24 hours later that he realized that the miracle was there. Guys, it's possible that tomorrow at this time, because of a prayer that you're going to pray, you're going to realize that God has moved in a miraculous, supernatural way where you can look back and you can testify to the goodness that when you took God at his word, no ifs, ands, or whens, or buts, but because that your faith grew, that you believed, and then you saw it for his glory. Because as I prepare to close, Trevor and the band makes their way on out here. I just need to ask you the question. What is the area of your life where you need to trust God today? What is the area? You've got this connection card. You've never filled it out. I want to say today that this is going to be the next step for many of us, if not all of us, is that we're going to write our name. You don't have to. It can be anonymous. But on the back of it, that you're going to do one of two things. You're going to mark what your spiritual next step is, or you're just in a word or in a phrase, you're going to let us know what is the area that you want us to pray for with you. And by faith, we're going to trust and believe that God is going to be able to change this for his glory, in his timing, and for his good and yours as well. I don't know what the spiritual next step is for some of you. I don't know the area where you need to be obedient is. It may be being obedient in the area of a relationship, in the area of your sexuality, possibly in a hurt that you've experienced, something in your past. I'm not sure where you need to trust God. Maybe it's in your business or in your career, in your finances. I'm not sure where you need to surrender to God. Maybe it's with your temper or your words or your thoughts. I don't know where your spirituality is. If you find yourself being superficial in your faith or situational in your faith, but I desire today that by faith that you would surrender whatever it is that's holding you back, and that you would say yes to what God wants, which is his very best for your life, that you would take him at his word, not if or when, but because God is good. So here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna ask you to stand to your feet at this time. Trevor is gonna lead us in this song, and the song is gonna talk about an altar. And an altar is a place, it's a spiritual transaction where we take our life, we take that card, whatever on that card, and we place it there, and we trust God that he is gonna do what only he can do. And for some of you, maybe what you need to do is you need to come forward. You need to seek prayer from one of our pastors. Maybe others, you need to give your life to Christ. Maybe some of you need to rededicate your life to Christ. Maybe some of you, you just need to write down the prayer right now. But maybe, and I'm thinking most of us, what we need to do is we need to surrender whatever that thing is, whatever's on that card, whatever in our heart, the thing we've been holding on to, the thing that we've been kind of putting ifs, buts, and whens on. And we need to say, regardless of all of it, God, I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to trust you with the outcome. I'm going to believe you, God, and I'm going to trust your word, and I'm going to depart. So our goal is that this is going to be a time of worship. It's going to be a spiritual moment of an altar, and that you can come as you are. You can stay right where you are, whether you're watching online at home or you're here with us now. I encourage you. For the next 2 minutes, don't leave, don't check out, but engage spiritually. I believe this can be a powerful time of breakthrough in the life of many of us because our God is good and he's still in the miracle business. Amen, church? Amen. Let's worship, everyone.